OTB AM. With Gillette, your Mo supported our frontline workers this Movember.
And I'm delighted to say Ruth Fahey is with us to talk to us about Ireland's performance against Germany last night. Ruth, the performance last night was actually relatively good compared to what we might have expected against the Germans, but the damage had already been done.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the unfortunate truth coming into it. And we did say that after the Ukraine game, what lay ahead was probably a mountain that was just a little bit too far to climb. Now, in saying that, it was probably their best performance, certainly the best performance I've ever seen from an Irish side against such a top team. Germany, probably the best team in the world at the moment. And like just thinking back through the game, it was actually, like I said, it was better than I expected. The first few phases, my heart was slightly concerned. They seemed to kind of dominate down on your Gorman's side, and I thought they were really going to target that area. But apart from that opening 10 and obviously that goal that we all saw, that was a really sick one to take, to be honest. When that went in and the second goal went in, we thought there might be a case of floodgates opening, but it certainly wasn't to be. And the girls fought back, scored that penalty. And let's just be mindful that that's the first goal that Germany have conceded throughout the whole campaign, which is huge. So it was a perfect way to go into the break. And in the second half, like, you're looking at 45 minutes against a side that just brought on the likes of Marjan, who is one of the top, if not top three, top five players in the world at the moment. But Ireland still managed to outplay them at times. They won four corners throughout the game to Germany's five. That's something that we haven't seen before. When we look at the highlight reel after the game, there are actually genuine chances for Ireland. They went for it. They properly went for it. Obviously, they conceded then the 85th minute. But it was just too little too late, and it was just really heartbreaking to witness the interviews after the game. It was just really tough to take.
So, obviously, the sense of loss is only going to be magnified when the Euros actually happens on our doorstep, and we're going to be sitting watching it. And you hope that there'll be some initiative from the FAI to capitalise on the popularity and the fact that everybody's watching it. So you hope that there's something going on in tandem. In terms of the actual football, what lessons need to be learned and how quickly do they need to be injected into the team, and what needs to happen next? Does Vera Powell need to stay or does Vera Powell need to go?
Well, I think first of all, Vera Powell needs to stay. I think this campaign, obviously they didn't qualify, but there's just so many of the positives to bring through. But like, you're asking, I suppose we asked this question, I've heard this question been asked so many times. The last time Ireland came as close to qualifying the Euros was back, I think it was 2008. I was on Erasmus in Germany. I remember going to a pub and getting Eurosport on to try and find the match. They were playing Iceland in a playoff. That was 2008. And again, we haven't even gotten to the playoff time, this time. So this is 12 years later and we're kind of asking the same questions. And while the Irish team is getting better and better, unfortunately, what's happening is all the other teams are also getting better. While Ukraine are definitely not a side that I thought we should have lost to, ultimately, they've come second in the group and they're improving, and they'll continue to improve again for the next qualifiers. But the question regarding Vera Powell, does she need to stay? I think yes. I think it's clear that the players have bought into what she's trying to do. She clearly has a very strong bond with the players and a strong bond with the Irish game in general. She often alludes to her assistant manager Eileen Gleeson as kind of being that source of knowledge and expertise in the Women's National League, but she spoke about a holistic plan last night, and that has to include the Women's National League. There has to be more talk about the Women's National League, and finally I think that might come to the fore, because if you've got players like Ella Malloy, who's 16 and who's still got, ultimately, she's probably going to go to the WSL, or she's going to go if she wants. She can play professional football, but she will be in Ireland for the next 2 years. You know, if you're assuming she wants to stay and finish school, or the likes of Anya Gorman, who Vera Powell obviously favours and she wants her to play. So players like that, or Jamie Finn, who started last night, plays for Shelburne. I mean, you need to look after those players. So how are they going to be looked after? And it can't just be a case of, oh, they're going to play with boys. You know, there's this theme that they have to play with boys, but should it not be a case where what they're playing in is good enough and they don't have to play with boys? Obviously, they're looking at different ways to improve it. But yeah, it'd be great to have Vera to stay, but it'd be great to have an awful lot of attention given to our own domestic league, which is slowly stagnating as well.
Okay, so you don't sound that confident about there being an automatic improvement in the team's fortunes into the future? Unless these things are addressed.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course, they have to be addressed, and there will be a debrief, and everyone will run through that in great detail. But there was just talk. there was talk last night of, well, no, there was a statement that Ireland can qualify for it, or will be at the Women's World Cup in 2023 in Australia, New Zealand, which would be incredible. But and emotions were running quite high. But it's such a huge task, because you're looking at the World Cup, where in 2019 I think there were 24 teams, and that will be expanded to 32 in 2023. Back in 2019, 8 teams from Europe qualified. We don't know how many there will be in 2023 yet. You would assume there might be 10 or so, if not more. But those 8 teams, like, we're talking, you know, in Europe, we've got England, the Dutch, Norway, Germany, Sweden, Iceland, Spain, Italy. They're 8 teams that are probably going to qualify. And then you're battling it out the likes of Switzerland, a fabulous team, Denmark, Russia, Belgium, Wales, Scotland. Ireland could be up there. Absolutely could be up there. We've taken points off all those sides before, but it's a very complex, difficult task. And when you think about our last qualifying group, we had Norway and we had the Dutch. And that is a massive, massive ask. So you have to give everything. You have to sit down and plan everything to a new detail, and you have to throw resources in behind us. It's already been done. It's come on hugely, and huge credit since 2017 and that strike. The response has been amazing, and the players give testament to that. But there just has to be more, and there is room for more. It's not huge, not a huge ask, and there's not huge inroads to make. Just needs more. There's always going to need to be more until you get that qualifying point, unfortunately. But yeah.
OTB AM with Gillette, your most supported our frontline workers this Movember.
The point that you make about the Women's National League here, and if you look back and you trace back the point where football in Ireland goes away from being successful and really hopeful about its future, it's the bit where the League of Ireland starts to become neglected and our best players all start to go to England. That's always going to be the case, that the biggest leagues will always soak up your best talent. But it's the fact that we didn't pay attention to the league and to the facilities and to the structures of the league and the governance of the league and all that kind of stuff, that if you went back 40, 50 years, you would say, look, if your international team is going to be successful over a long period of time, you need a domestic league that works and that makes sense. There's the opportunity now for the women's game to learn from that lesson and to say, okay, and for the FAI particularly to say, a strong women's domestic league is going to be the bedrock of all of the structures that we put in place, so that if you're a kid, you're associated with a club, or you have, you're going in that pathway to a club. Are we doing that? Is that part of the FAI's thinking?
It doesn't appear to be so at the moment, from what I have seen and heard over the past, let's say, 2 or 3 years, the duration of that campaign. Has it improved? Yes. Like, there's no point pummeling and not giving credit where credit is due. There is attention being given to Women's National League, but is there focus, and is it a bedrock or a foundation of the plan? Like, I definitely don't think it was. I could be wrong, and maybe I just haven't seen it, or it hasn't been visible. I don't get the feeling that it was. No, I wouldn't. There's no evidence to me that it was. Will it be now going forward? Absolutely has to be. And I think those within the senior national team staff will hold their hands up and support that as well. Because the fact is, even if the best players want to go, often they won't go immediately. They might go after college. They might go in their mid-20s. So they have to be at a certain level to go. And if the league here is flourishing and they're being, you know, they're leaving in a really strong S&C in place, you know, they're training at an appropriate number of times a week. The league is competitive. We've got a couple of teams who've got, you know, big physical, close games week in, week out. You're going to produce those players and have them primed to go, so there's not too much of a gap to make when they do progress into that professional side. But was the Women's National League a source of focus as part of that development plan of that 2 years? No, I think the focus was probably purely on it didn't need to be, because they had enough there. Like, in that starting 11 last night, aside from Anya O'Gorman, the rest are all playing professionally. Amber Barrett, they came on to play professionally. Ella Molloy, that came on, is not. So there's just, I don't think the attention was there. Will it be now? It has to be. Like, it has to be. And it's, the Women's National League is coming under that focus now. People are asking about it. Where is it at? You know, we're coming up to a 10-year anniversary of its inception back in 2011. So where is it at now? How far has it come? Is it that's the big question, and I'd like that to see, I'd like to see that analysed and talked about and discussed, and I'd love to see the coaches and the managers come in and get involved in that discussion as well over the next couple of months.
So is your sense that we almost have a golden generation playing football for Ireland at the moment, and there is an element of fortune about having these unbelievable talents playing for the team, that actually removing that luck over the next couple of years and decades and actually having more of a system is the way to go and is obviously a necessary step?
Yeah, having a system is absolutely the way to go. You're exactly golden generation. Look, we've got Denise O'Sullivan, Katie McCabe, even Grace Maloney in goal. They're, Rihanna, Jared up front, they're at the kind of 25, 26-year-old age. They would have been in and around that team, maybe a little bit younger, who got so far in the under-17 World Cup back in 2010. They're getting older, unfortunately. Like, they're not at a stage now where in 2 or 3 years' time, I don't think they'll have progressed beyond their peak or anything like that. But you're looking, you know, if the World Cup doesn't happen, you're looking beyond that in 4 years' time. Denise O'Sullivan will be 30 years old. I'm sure she'll be even a better player, but she'll be a different player. And what we have right now is we have an incredible talent and a pool there and that golden generation. And they spoke about it in the analysis after the game. We don't want to see those players in the analysis and looking back and wanting better for the youth who are coming through. Like it has to be done now, and the opportunities are there. The talent is there. But just shifting that focus in a more effective way, just getting some money in and resources in and doing it right, will reap massive benefits, and everybody knows it.
In terms of Pal's coaching, did you see a gradual improvement as the campaign went on, where the team was more cohesive, that there were better individual performances?
Yes, and I'm purely saying that immediately because I watched Ireland versus Germany last night, and there were some chances created. They scored a penalty, they had four corners, the pass, you know, the completed pass rate was up close to 300. Wouldn't have seen that before. And when they played Germany, I know it was away in the previous tie, they were just completely outplayed. While they were clearly outplayed last night, there were moments of competitiveness, and it was different and it was better. Now, in saying that, the Ukraine and the Greece matches where they dropped points were in the latter stages of the campaign. Especially the Ukraine game. They beat them 3-2 at home. They were clearly better, and you kind of expect them to kick on. After that game, I thought, there's no way Ireland will lose to Ukraine. You know, I had kind of written the script nearly at that point when they beat Ukraine at home 3-2. They showed great character. They were 2-0 up, it came to 2-2, they went back to win 3-2. And I was like, this is a momentum shift, because sometimes that we hadn't seen that before from an Irish side. So maybe that's in terms of performances. I thought the players, I didn't think they dipped in confidence or anything like that as the campaign progressed. But potentially a psychological thing that they haven't quite mastered yet. But there's no more time to wait to master those little moments. And this experience will stand to all that team. And we won't lose this team. They're going to be together as a cohesive unit for the next campaign as well. But yeah, it got better. But God, just wasn't enough.
Yeah, and I think as well, the progression to the second Ukraine game, like, there was an element of freakishness about what happened on that particular afternoon, in fairness. Just one final one for me on it then. Like, in terms of the style of play that this team is playing, is this the brand that Ireland need to stick to regardless of the manager over the next little while? Does it suit this type of player? Does it suit the type of player that Ireland is producing, the Vera Pau style of play?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think it does. When I compare this campaign to the last, the last campaign under Colin Bell, there wasn't really a brand. I think there was very much a developmental process in place where he focused on not conceding. So there was no clear brand. We didn't know what way they wanted to play. In this campaign, Vera spoke from the very beginning that she, you know, held her hand up, said, we've won the best players in the world here in this team. We can play football. We can execute on the counter. We can be clinical. We're good enough to hold on to the ball. I didn't see that enough. You can tell, you know, the brand that she wants to play, but I didn't see that enough throughout the campaign. She, you know, Vera will say she just needs another campaign under her belt, which I would fully agree with. I think she'll bring that forward, obviously, into the next one. I think the brand of football that she's trying to play does suit the players. She probably needs more time, but they're definitely capable to execute it. And I do. I agree. I think it suits him, yeah.
All right, Ruth, we've got to leave it there. Good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks a million, guys.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, is live from 7:30 every morning. Listen on the OTB Sports app or ask Alexa, Siri or Google to play OTB Sports Radio to start your day with the latest sports news and reaction. Subscribe by searching OTB AM on your podcast app.